This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. It remembers my daughter's temperature, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. And it keeps her entertained with games while we wait. Check it out at kinsahealth.com.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a Crude Prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? So I have been... welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, by the way. I have been fighting this cold. I've had a cold for almost 2 weeks now. It's like it's the month of sickness in my house. I've got it. Channing's got it. Actually, I gave it to her. I feel so bad. Usually it's the other way around. She gets me sick. But this time, somehow I picked up the bug and gave it to her. So sorry, boo-boo. So while she's napping in the other room, I thought I would squeak in here and do a podcast. Get it all together for you. My guest today is my friend Jay Flats. Jay is a stand-up comedian. He is an audience warm-up comic, I guess you call him, audience warm-up host, maybe, for several different shows. Like, he does the talk show The Real. He's the audience warm-up guy for that TV show, as well as he's the in-house host, entertainer, fun guy, free prize giver for the Los Angeles Kings. So it's a really fun show today, and I get to ask him a lot about what it's like to be a comic and host and work behind the scenes on some of your favorite TV shows. So that's going to be a good time. In the meantime, for those of you who are following along, I was so excited to kick off my new year with like this new weight loss plan, and I'm gonna do my 15 by 15, and oh man, this bug came along and totally kicked my butt, and I have not done anything that I had planned to do for the first week of getting healthy and whatnot. In fact, I'm the opposite of healthy right now, but I'm cutting myself some slack. I sort of built this sick time, if you will, into my plan. The reason I set my goal of 15 pounds in 4 months, which I know if you're just looking at it, it doesn't sound like it would be a long time, or it sounds like it would be easy to do, I should say. But then you have like sicknesses come up. You have, you know, I'm a mom. I'm a real mom. This is my life. So I can't go and work out 2 hours a day. I just don't have the time or quite frankly, the energy to do that. So I got to work out when I can, however I can. And once I'm back to 100%, that's when I'm going to launch into all my workout stuff. So make sure you're following me on Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and Facebook, as well as MIH Podcast on the Twitter and Periscope, because I'm going to be, once I'm back at full strength, as they say in hockey, I'm going to be periscoping about town and tweeting all of the fun things I'm going to be doing and trying out. And you guys should join me. I'm doing the MIH 15 by 15. I'm going to lose 15 pounds by my 15th wedding anniversary. Come hell or high water, if I have to chop off some toes to do it, I don't know. My toes don't weigh 15 pounds. That's creepy and gross. What else is happening? I feel like there's something else I wanted to tell you guys. Now I've totally forgotten. Ugh. Anyway, maybe I should go lay back down. I promise next time I'll be better. In the meantime, enjoy this moment of health and well-being when I interview my friend Jay Flats. Hey, you guys, I'm joined in the studio today by my good friend Jay Flats.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
What's happening? I had to cuss Jay earlier because he almost forgot about our special date this morning.
No, I did forget.
Yeah, you totally forgot, yeah. I may have cussed you a little bit, but I was
pouring a cup of coffee and I got a text. Are you on your way? And I said, oh, beep.
I said that too, but I was like, oh, thank God he's going to come in. I would have had to drive to your house and cut a bitch.
Both of my assistants are on vacation.
Oh, how lovely that you have assistants.
Yeah. My mom and my girlfriend keep track of my schedule.
You're so fancy now. back in the day when I knew you, Jay and I were tour guides together at Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
I'm nodding my head like they can hear me agreeing.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. But you do stand-up, though. Like, stand-up is more your thing, right? Or did you start doing stand-up, or did you start hosting first? Like, was the chicken before the egg?
I started doing crowd warm-up for TV shows.
And that was the first bit?
My first, like, step into full stage presence. I was, like, an audience coordinator for TV shows for a while, just seating people.
Oh, okay.
And then I started watching the warm-up guys, and when I found out the money that they're making, I was like, whoa, I can do that, and I can do it better than these guys.
Yeah.
So I took that upon myself to start doing that, and then the stand-up came along with it, because they're like, oh, you do warm-up. Obviously, you do stand-up, right?
Oh,
and okay. I'm that guy that always just says, oh, yeah. Can you do this? Oh, yeah. Can you stilt walk? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But see, but now you can.
So yeah.
So that's interesting, because a lot of audience warm-up people, they start in stand-up and then they get audience warm-up jobs and hosting jobs and stuff like that. But you kind of started the other way.
Yeah, people, they're always asking me, like, how'd you get this gig? And I'm like, how much time do you have? Let's sit down and talk, because it's not the normal route.
No. Uh-uh.
There is no, like, let's drop my resume off at the warm-up office.
I had the warm-up office. Where is that? I remember, I've only been to, like, a couple of live TV tapings here in LA, because they're, I don't know, I like to be in the taping. I don't like to watch the taping. I find them really boring, and, like, I'd rather be in it. But I went to, when I was on the TV show, Work It, the old classic Work It.
What is Work It?
It was an ABC show. It lasted for 3 episodes, and they were like, yank. It was that show that came out like 5 or 6 years ago. It was a modern day bosom buddies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, the guys in it were dressing in drag to try to get back in the workforce after losing their jobs. And it was like, no one in the office knew they were ladies, but these were like, come on.
What is this?
I don't want to say it was bad, but it got pulled after 3 episodes. I was on it, so I was thrilled to be, I had a small part on it. So I was like, yay, I'm working.
At the time, it was the best show in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, I will pimp the show till I die.
It's my favorite show.
But I just remember the night of the taping, I had done my part and I was kind of hanging out watching the audience coordinator, and man, he was really shticky, and like the show was going on way longer than what they thought it was going to be. So this poor guy was like passing out candy, like his business card, like everything, to try to like keep this audience that had been there for 7 hours.
Oh yeah. I've definitely run into those.
What do you do?
Lengthy times. You just got to learn how to stretch. Music is a huge component as far as just keep playing the right music to keep people in the right mood. You've got to do dance contests, impressions. You got to sing. You got to, you know, there are things that I do where, like, I know if I've got 2 minutes or 5 minutes on a TV break, I can do something as simple as, like, all right, who traveled from really far away? And that gets everybody focused on who's, well, I'm further away than you. No, I came all the way in from so-and-so.
Oh,
it comes to competition of where are you from? Meanwhile, they forget that they're doing something behind me on stage.
Yeah.
So a lot of time it's just, how long can you distract them and then go, all right, back into show mode. Yay.
Yeah. Do you prefer doing sitcoms? Or do you prefer doing like the reality competition shows?
I can't break into sitcoms.
Really?
That's like the top shelf of warm-up.
What are you
warm-up.
Doing now? What shows are you doing
now? I'm doing The Real. Daytime talk show The Real on the WB. And it's a lot of fun. Like 5 minority females and the audience comes in. And it's different than any other audience I've ever done
before. I bet you they are sassy.
I turn it on. I'm like, hey, girl, how you doing? What's up? You shady. What's up, girl? Hey, okay, don't do this. All right? Like, I get into all of that.
You get to just play and have fun.
And, like, I get this audience.
I bet they're like, who is this white boy? We like him.
Exactly. They're like, hey, oh, you can dance.
Okay.
I had this one lady. She goes, Jay, I'll eat you up. I was like, cool. How hungry are you?
Yeah, right. Let's do it.
But like I love watching like minority females' faces change from who's this guy to, oh, he cool. All right, we like him. Yeah, hey.
Oh, he cool. So you do the reel, and do you do that every day, or is it?
It's the regular schedule is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, two shows a day, sometimes a third show on the Wednesday.
Okay.
And it's on the WB lot. We're right next to Ellen.
Oh, okay, nice.
Which is completely different. Like, Ellen is like Indiana. Yeah. Is her audience, like middle America.
Which is so funny because she's so liberal and like, you know, big old lesbian and open about it. And it's so funny that like all these Midwesterners are like, I just love Ellen.
Even my mom's the same way. She's like, oh, she's just the cutest.
She's the cutest.
And I'm like, Ma, she, okay. I guess you like what you like.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. I think it's cool that she has transcended that way. Did you also do like Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, yeah. Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, America's Got Talent.
Are they all, they all have different vibes, I'm sure, depending on the type of show.
Like some of the best shows that I worked on, like I didn't exactly like the show X Factor with Simon Cowell and Mario Lopez is actually solid. Never diss Mario Lopez. That guy, holy cow. Pro. That guy's a pro.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard people like, I don't like Mario. He never stumbles.
What's not to like? He's so watchable.
I think people just something like to hate jealous, on him because they're like, what's Slater doing on E?
Oh, but he's so great.
And he's so good.
And he's so pretty.
But I was working on X Factor, and sometimes when they take the shows on the road, they'll get the warm-up guys to go on the road because like we were in Greensboro, North Carolina, and they don't have any union warm-up guys in Greensboro. So I was on the road doing a show called The Next on the CW with like Gloria Estefan and Joe Jonas. And
is that still on?
No, I did one season.
I was going to say, it didn't work, did it? Yeah. Probably the warm-up guy. Probably.
Yeah. Well, I was on the road doing that, and they were like, hey, can you get to Greensboro? And I was like, yeah, sure. The audience in Greensboro, North Carolina was probably the best TV audience I have ever dealt with.
Were they just so excited?
It was unbelievable. It was like 3,500 people.
Whoa.
And they don't get a lot of entertainment like this in Greensboro. They can watch it on TV, but actually seeing it in person. So it was like one of the craziest audiences ever.
3,500 people?
We had 3,500 there. Wow. And then we did one in Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum where the Islanders used to play hockey. They don't play hockey there anymore. And it was the same thing. 3,500 screaming teenage girls from Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens. Like,
wow.
And they were so ecstatic. I think it might have been partially because Britney was doing it at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Britney and Demi.
For sure.
So like that whole dynamic, like, that's an easy crowd to handle, but you have to know how to wrangle it in so it doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah, because I'd imagine that it would be easy at one point if the crowd gets a little too worked up to like bring them back into the focus of the show.
One of my favorite things in the world, and this is like a high five to any other warm-up guy, is when a producer says, hey, the audience is too rowdy.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
Nailed it. Do you want to, now you're not an actor, right?
Or yeah.
You do act too?
Yeah.
So is this sort of something you're doing like to help pay the bills until you act? Or is this like in addition to acting?
It's definitely in addition to.
Okay.
When I got out here 15 years ago, definitely came out with acting aspirations. Mm-hmm. But you know how hard it is and you know how hard it is to tune your craft and take the classes and pay for the classes.
Oh, and yeah. So the headshots and the casting workshops.
Everything. And so now that I've been on the hustle for 15 years and I've got a nice little cushion, now I'm looking into taking the right acting classes, working with the right people.
Yeah.
I feel like personally I have more life experience to draw from. I have more chops just in general. Like I don't get nervous at auditions anymore. I used to roll into an audition and was super nervous, like, are they gonna like me, are they gonna like me? Now I roll in, give them what I got, and then at the end I go, how'd I do?
Yeah,
do I have a shot at this? What do you think? And sometimes people are thrown off like, well, that's kind of weird. But sometimes people are like, actually, you did very well. So be on the lookout for this, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like I feel more like I'm 38 now. And so I feel a lot more just confident overall.
Yeah.
So now I can start taking the classes. And
well, a lot of it, too, I think, comes from performing in front of 3,500 people. You know, and performing in front of groups every day and every week. Giving you the instant feedback. And you're more confident in your stand-up now, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you learn how to craft a joke? Did you go take, like, a comedy class? Or did you just sort of...
I I definitely spent times in clubs, not as much as Justine Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like somebody I definitely respect in the comedy world as mm-hmm. far as like putting in the groundwork. She's at the clubs every night, 2-3 clubs a night. And you know this, like for years she was doing this.
Yep.
And her hard work pays off for that. I don't have the patience to hang out in comedy clubs with comedians all night because they're always constantly putting their material on you. And I'm like, can we just have a conversation?
Honestly, that's part of the reason why I have not pursued stand-up as much as I would like to. People ask me a lot, like, oh, do you do stand-up? And I've done it and I've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I had tried it 20 years ago, I would have maybe been more into it. But now I'm like, all right, I can either sit and watch Downton Abbey or I could go up to Flappers and, like, you know, try to see if they'll...
I got to catch up on House of Cards or watch... Some good comedians and some bad comedians.
Today. Right. So it's like, you know, but the people who really love it and who truly are gifted at it, I think are there. And, you know.
I've fallen into a role in stand-up that a lot of comics don't like. I like to be the host.
Oh, yeah.
So for the shows, a lot of times.
I would love that, too.
So I feel like there's a lot less stress on the host.
Because you still get to come out as the host of a show, do like a 20-minute, 15-minute, whatever.
You get to open it up, and then if somebody's not that good in the middle of the show, you do a few more minutes of time, bring the crowd back in. I like that challenge of,
Why don't comedians like to do that? That seems to be like it would
a lot
be
of comics like to just do their set and then get off.
Oh, and go do something else.
But I like to be that guy that's like, hey, we're going to have a good time tonight. This is who I am. Let's have fun. Let me bring up my first funny friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the night, it's... My favorite thing is... because I've seen the exact opposite. I've seen people that are like, oh, cool, the host is back. Oh, like, oh, here he comes. This is cool. Because they know I'm going to have like a quick one-liner or something that I might riff off of what somebody else was just talking about or something like that. But I've seen other hosts where people, the comic will be done, and I've seen the audience go, oh, here comes this guy again. And that's the worst. Like, I've seen some of the worst hosts. And I blame that on like the promoters and the guys who own the clubs because a lot of times...
It's like your buddy or something.
They'll just put somebody up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't afford anybody, mm-hmm. so I can't pay a host, so I'll just put this guy up there.
Do hosts get paid? I feel like nobody in comedy gets paid.
Oh, yeah. Well, at first, when you're doing stand-up, a lot of it is bringer shows.
Oh, yeah, where you have to bring people.
Like, you got to bring people to get stage time.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets old fast with your friends, because they're like, how many shows? I heard these jokes last week. Like, how many times do I have to go to your show?
Right. At one point, I had Justine Marino's set memorized.
Memorized, yeah.
Because I went to all of her shows. Yeah.
Wait, there's a Krispy Kreme in Burbank?
What? Blah, blah, blah. You look like Steven Tyler.
Yes. But, like, I remember at first when Justine started, I was there, like, one of her first shows. Mm-hmm. And she was always bringing cupcakes.
Yeah.
So she was the cute new girl with cupcakes. And all the guys were like, holy.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is different.
You can say shit, Jay. It's totally cool.
Oh, I never know.
All right. You totally can.
I like to keep it squeaky clean.
Oh, cute.
Sometimes.
I don't. I swear anybody who listens to the show can tell you, I swear, more than what should be legal. It's bad.
But I for the stand-up stuff, I just I only do it a few times a month. Because I'm doing so much warm-up
that
the last thing I want to do after a 3-show day is go do stand-up comedy somewhere at night.
I think my thing is it's like I don't want to go and do 3 minutes of something like that. To go and park and, in L.A. Yeah.
It's a commitment.
I don't want to go and do that for 3 minutes of stage time. And I know that that's the work you have to put in if stand-up is what you love and what you want to do. I just don't know if it's what I love. I enjoy it the few times I've done it. It's fun, but I just, I don't know. I don't have the passion for it.
With the warm-up, like I'm doing this talk show, The Real, right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's 170 episodes in 7 months.
That's crazy.
So I look at that as I have 170 opportunities to do warm-up / stand-up.
And you're not, as I say, and you're not doing a 5-minute set, though,
no,
right?
No, I get
half an hour, 20 minutes?
Well, it depends, because sometimes we'll take a commercial break, and it's a 1-minute break, and then we're back. But sometimes it's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm never told how long the break's going to be.
Yeah.
So I just have to ebb and flow and adjust and keep an eye on the stage manager, keep an eye on the camera guys. Like, I just keep talking and keep looking back.
Is there a little
bit
of improv in there, too?
Oh, 100%.
Have you taken improv?
No. But
do you want to?
I actually run improv classes.
Oh, you do? Where are you teaching improv?
I'm not teaching in school. Like, the LA Kings and the LA Galaxy... Every year they have auditions for their promotional team.
Oh, okay.
So they have me come in and run like improv games to get people's personalities out and blah, blah, blah. And all I did was go on Google and look up top 10 improv games.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just run them. And people are like, you're an amazing improver. And I'm like, I'm improvising this right now.
I'm improvising this entire class.
Because I got a bad taste for improv when I first moved out here. Mm-hmm. I just met some people that were improv actors.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a girl at a bar one night, and she's like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian. And the guy next to her was like, yeah, well, I'm an improv comedian. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, where are your shows at? What do you do? He's like, oh, I got one next month. I go, oh, you mean like this month or next month? No, next month. I go, do you make any money at that? Because he's trying to get in this conversation and be like, an improv guy is better than stand-up. And he's trying to make me look bad for this girl. So I was just like, do you make any money? He goes, do you? I go, yeah, I made $400 tonight doing my stand-up set. Uh-huh. Oh. I go, do you make money at improv? He goes, no, not really. And I go, well, then what do you do to make money? He goes, well, I'm a waiter. I go, well, then you should probably tell people you're a waiter, not an improv actor.
What a dick, Jay. Yeah, what a dick you are.
But he turned around and walked away, and this girl was like, that guy's a jerk. I go, I know. What was he trying to do?
I would have thought you were being the jerk. But here's the deal, though. Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Laying it down. But still, look at you being like, listen, I make money. No, improv person makes money.
Well, I had a bow tie on one night, mm-hmm. and this guy tried to heckle me. And he was like, hey, Pee Wee Herman wants his bow tie back.
Why? What?
And he heckled me
say?
From the crowd. And I go, hey, do you get laid? Because I do, wearing bow ties. Thank you.
What's wrong with people? Thank you very much. I don't understand hecklers at comedy clubs. Like, I don't know what makes people think they can go. I think because heckling is maybe transcended. What it originally started off was just drunk people yelling. And now it's like, oh, I'm going to be a heckler.
Yeah.
And see if I can get in the comedian's head.
I think people want to make like a viral impact too. Like, sure. Oh my God, yeah. Check this out. I was heckling at somebody's comedy show and it made it on YouTube or something, you know?
No, totally. I think that's a big part of it now too, is people just want to rattle a comedian, see if they can get like a tweet out of it or, you know, some kind of fame.
Oh, yeah.
We're all looking for fame here. We're all searching.
No,
for
we're all looking for a popularity contest. It's how many followers do you have? How many followers do you have?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, how many people are following you
on
this?
Here's the deal, though. With followers, all of it is a big bunch of BS because anybody can buy followers.
Right.
So, I mean, that to me is not an indicator necessarily.
Wait, what's it
going
to cost me to have you to follow me?
I already do follow you.
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I do.
Are you following me on eHarmony? Because that's my best profile.
Oh, is that the one you get the most likes on?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Your match.
That and blackpeoplemeet.com.
Black People Meet.
Irish Mocha. That's my handle.
Gross.
Irish Mocha.
Irish Mocha.
I'm down with the swirl.
I used to call you Jay Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
Uh-huh.
Jay.
Yeah, I've officially cut it to Jay Flats. I started my own company now, Jay Flats Inc.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, what's your company do?
All around entertainment, everything from providing hosting services to DJing and aerial photography with my drone. And I actually added a karaoke system to the DJing part.
Are you doing the DJ part?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you come out. Are you talking like spinning records and
turntables,
like,
the whole thing?
Please
like,
welcome Mr. and Mrs. or whatever.
Well, here's something I added to the repertoire as well. I am now an ordained minister and I've performed a wedding.
Wow, look at you.
A couple of Kings fans.
Do you have ADD? Do you feel like you just can't pick one thing?
Do this. That's what my girlfriend says. You got to just focus on one thing.
Yeah, you have like 20 things that you're doing.
But I, you know, last year I turned in 19 W-2s on my taxes.
Wow.
So that's just, that was a slow year.
Yeah. But why do you think that is? Like, what motivates you to want to do so many things? You think you have that creative side? Because I know for me, I have a lot of ideas that'll pop into my head. And I'm like, oh, I want to do this now and do this. But then I don't actually do them.
Well, over the last couple of years, I started to follow through on those ideas. Like, I want to do this and then just do it.
Yeah.
And it also comes along with, like, if you can obtain financial stability, you can do things. Because a lot of people, it's just the struggle, the hustle. What can I get? Yeah. What can I get? But like, if you manage to find a job that, like I do the real talk show, it's 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves me 4 days a week to work on my stuff. If I'm not doing a Kings game or something like that. So that's actually cool if you can find a job that would normally take all week, but you do it in 3 days. It gives you the rest of the time to... Because I have a crazy ideas all the time, and I'll just... Now I start making them.
Do you ever want to write and do the writing side of this biz?
I've tried, and I don't know if it's because my brain is so hot-wired, and I don't know if I have the patience to sit down and write it all. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really good at writing shorts. I don't think I can write features or, like, episodic. Who knows?
It's a certain kind of beast, I have found, like, writing for TV shows or especially movies. Because I can write sketches like crazy.
Sure.
Anything longer than that, and I start to go, la, la, la. Or I start to question, like, is this funny? What did I say earlier? Like, it's... Yeah. Writing is a big challenge.
Like, I wrote a sketch the other day. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm... sitting with my girlfriend, and I got her hooked on it to where she's like Wikipediaing, like, is Jon Snow really dead?
Does she
like,
go on the Game of Thrones Wikipedia?
She's looking at all that. She's nerding out.
So good.
She's nerding out now. She's like, oh, well, he's going to come back. I go, are you sure? She goes, yeah, the internet says it. And I was like, well, don't believe everything you read on the internet. But I came up with
this
idea.
He's coming back, Jay. Stop it. He's coming back.
So the idea, and I ordered all the props off of Amazon so that I'm going to film it now. I always motivate myself if I actually buy the stuff for it. And I'm going to do a sketch where you see this guy is carving those little like giant chess piece markers that they use.
Yeah.
And all the kings have a big map, and they keep moving the pieces around. Like, here's where the Starks are. Here's where the little lion Lannisters are.
Uh-huh.
So this guy's carving a little wolf. And a guy comes in, and he's like, Robb Stark is dead. And the guy's like, Robb Stark is dead. They just ordered 100 of these wolves. Who in the seven elves is going to pay for this? And I don't know why.
You're just like, I need to film this immediately.
It came out of nowhere. So I ordered the little wolf pieces. I ordered some the flayed Bolton pieces. So they're right next to each other. And it's like, and I'm just going to have a guy wear a big, heavy, furry coat. And he's going to be carving a little wolf. And the guy comes in and he goes, Robb Stark's dead. And he's all pissed off. And he's like, I got 100 of these.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's also like, he's molding like the hand of the king. And he's like, whoever wears this is going to die.
You have to do that before it comes out in like March.
April. Yeah. April's,
or April. Yeah, April 2nd or something.
April for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Hey, I got to tell you from personal experience, Kinsa is the world's smartest thermometer. We've been using it every day in my house for the past couple of weeks because everybody's had some kind of bug. And Kinsa is great at remembering temperatures, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. It's a great tool to have in my toolbox, and I'm so glad I have it. Make sure you go and check it out, see how Kinsa can work for you at kinsahealth.com, the world's smartest thermometer. Oh, I love that show so much. I could seriously watch it. I feel angry that they keep killing off all of the people that I love, except for Joffrey. I mean, like, he needed to go. That was like the best.
Some of my friends got mad because I turned him on to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta check this out. And like, my one buddy was like, I thought we were friends. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, why would you introduce me to people that I love and then they die?
And then they just get
you're a jerk.
Spoiler alert for anyone who's listening: everyone dies on Game of Thrones.
I think I've seen all 5 seasons, each episode at least 3 times.
Oh, really?
At
so
least
you're
3
like
times. Yeah.
Hardcore fan.
Yeah, and I've read the first 4 books.
Oh, I couldn't read the books.
And
they
I'm in the middle
too,
of the 5th one, and I just can't. It's just so deep into that world that it's like I don't want to get stuck in there.
Did you do like Dungeons and Dragons type stuff when you were growing up?
I didn't do Dungeons and Dragons, and I never read like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and all that stuff. But just for some reason, this thing encapsulated me. I was like, this is awesome. I love incest. This show has
oh my god. Finally, but we got it out of you.
You can't watch this.
That's my Barbara Walters
you
moment.
You can't watch this with your mom.
You cannot.
You cannot watch Game of Thrones with your mom.
You could, but everyone
it's
might
awkward.
Be a little
it's
uncomfortable.
Awkward. There's homosexuality, there's incest, there's rape, there's murder,
The only time, I mean, I've seen a lot of like horrible stuff, but the only time that I think I even winced a little bit is when Sansa got raped basically by her husband and she was just like looking horrified. And I was like, oh God, like, why is there so much raping in this show?
I was fine with all that until they burned the daughter at the stake.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh man, really?
God.
It's oh, bad. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler, major spoiler.
They burn Sansa at the stake.
No, it's the little, wait, no.
I'm
oh,
winking.
Yeah.
I'm winking.
He's winking.
They burn Tyrion at the stake. I had a great moment with, you know how you always try to remember, like, this is so-and-so, son of so-and-so, from house so-and-so.
Yeah.
So I look at my girlfriend, I go, who's Tyrion's dad? And she goes, Mr. Lannister?
Like, that's is awesome. She blind?
No.
Okay.
No, she's awesome.
Okay.
She's not listening, is she? I don't
know. No, she probably won't.
She will now, though, because I'll tell her to.
Yes, do it. So talk to me about the kings. Tell me what's happening with the kings, because you are basically the face of the kings.
Oh.
There's no hockey players. There's just Jake left.
Well, I'm in my eighth year of working as the in-arena host. So if you go to a game at Staples Center, I'm that dude on the Jumbotron.
Do you go with them when they travel, too?
No, because they have the hosts in other arenas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That makes sense.
But I do have aspirations to cover hockey and do broadcasting for sports. So that's another thing in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And I would love to take on the challenge of being a play-by-play commentator for hockey, because it's the hardest sport because it's continuously moving.
And now you, when you say you're the in-house host, you're helping give away prizes, you're like meet and greets with fans and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I've been there so long now that like when I first started, there was no host. Like, it was an idea that I pitched, like, hey, our team doesn't have a host. I would like to do this.
Yeah.
So when I first started, the team wasn't that good. And I would like show up in a section and give stuff away, and then the other team would score and people would think I was bad luck. So I'd be like, yo, Seacrest, get the fuck out of the way.
They would call you Seacrest.
Yeah, they didn't know my name. They just say, who's this dude with a mic, you know? And they
I would imagine hockey fans are not, I don't know, they just seem a little more rough and tumble.
Yeah. Well, like, they just assumed I was an entertainment guy and not a hockey fan. And I am a legit hockey and overall sports fan. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was not until, like, a bunch of fans, like, met me. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, he's actually a cool guy.
Yeah.
But, like, well, they used to yell Seacrest at me now, but they're just like, yo, Jay Flats, get the F out of the way. And now I'm like the selfie king of Staples Center, because people love to take photos, but I like to make sure that I look good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, let me get the phone and I'll do it. And I make sure that I look good.
That's what Mindy Kaling did to me. I was on her show and she was like, hey, so do you want to take a selfie? And I was like, sure.
Sure.
So she grabs my phone and like held it up at like the perfect angle. I look like a troll. She looks amazing. And I realized as it was happening, I was like, no, I've lost control of my selfie.
I'm really good at it. But yeah, I do like I'll put it like vertical above our heads and make all of us look up.
Yeah.
And it's like,
so then everyone looks tiny and skinny.
Everyone looks tiny. The jawline is
everyone
thin.
Looks gorgeous. It seems like you have a lot of fun every time I've seen you there, and the fans have really.
Yeah, one of my favorite games was when you were on the ice.
Yes, that was so awesome. I was terrible. Thank you, by the way, for...
Was it you and Chris were both on the ice?
Or? I feel like we were both out there.
Yeah.
And I was terrible. I was like, oh, Jay's going to be so embarrassed. I didn't realize how hard it is to actually swing a hockey stick and like hit a hockey puck.
Oh,
like,
yeah. There's
no
definitely
idea.
Finesse and skill involved in that.
There is. It's a lot harder than it looks. And then to be skating around and having big, giant dudes coming after you at the same time, like, it's a hard sport. It's a rough sport.
We had an amazing moment a couple weeks ago. Our PA announcer is this guy named Dave Joseph, and he's a really funny guy, but he's in the booth in between the penalty boxes. You're not going to get to see his personality shine.
Uh-huh.
So one night we didn't have a contestant to shoot the Popcornopolis thing from center ice. If you make it from center ice, everybody in the building wins popcorn.
And you didn't have a contestant?
We were supposed to have one, and Bailey just pulled Dave out of the... We kind of set it up.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's how it looked, as if like we forgot to have a contestant.
Yeah.
So he comes out, makes the first shot from close. We put him a little further away. Mm-hmm. He misses that one, makes the third one. But if he makes it from center ice, he wins free popcorn for everybody in the building.
Oh, my gosh.
So right before he takes the final shot, takes his jacket off, his suit jacket off, does a little stretch warm up, and he's a good hockey player, mm-hmm. and nails it, crushes it. Building goes crazy. Uh-huh. He celebrates by putting the stick on the ground, rubbing his hands over it as if the stick is on fire, and the whole building goes crazy. So we have those moments that are away from the actual game that entertain us.
Yeah, yeah.
The game is amazing. The Kings are a great team. It's a great organization. We've won 2 Stanley Cups in the last 5 years, and if the Kings play like they're playing now, very, very strong possibility of winning it again.
Are they doing really well right now? Because I want to go to another game.
They They are currently 12 points ahead of the next team in their division, which they've never done in franchise history. They've never had a lead that big.
Oh, wow. And how many more games is it until the...
We're almost at the halfway point, close to the All-Star game. So it's 82 games in a season. I think we've played 37 or 38 games.
Jeez.
Yeah. We have a game tonight, depending on when this podcast goes out. I don't know. But they... they're playing very well, and it's a matter of...
Do people ask you constantly for tickets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The funny thing is the Kings, I think it's like 185 or more consecutive sellouts.
Yeah, I was going to say, because when I first moved here, nobody went to the Kings games, really. I mean, it was like, you know, I remember Ben Salisbury, our friend Ben Salisbury.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He would like... have so many tickets to give
anybody
away.
Want tickets?
And
anybody
nobody
want
would
tickets?
Want them. Chris and I would take them and we would go because I actually like to watch hockey. I think it's a lot more fun to watch in person as like a lot of sports are. But now everybody goes to the games and it's like, where'd all these people come from?
Yeah, well, like...
We can't. I'm not paying $200 to go to a Kings game.
People used to be ticket snobs.
Yeah.
I used to have... like I would get a 10-pack of tickets at 6:30 the day of the game. Mm-hmm. And I would just start texting people, hey, I have tickets for tonight. Who wants them? Who wants them? And people would go, well, where are they?
Like, where are the seats?
Yeah.
Rude.
And now people are like, I'll take anything you got. I'll sit way up in the top row of the 300s. I don't even care. Like,
that's very LA, though. Like, people being where
how close? But now people don't understand the concept of a sellout.
Yeah.
They see tickets available on StubHub.
Yeah.
But those are tickets that have already been paid for that people are trying to resell on StubHub.
I've always wondered about that because you see something is sold out and then you go to the like an AXS or Ticketmaster or something and they have tickets available, but they're like crazy expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's somebody's paid for those seats. Mm. So I've got friends that are like, yo, do you get discount tickets for the Kings game? The games are all sold out. So you get a discount. There's no tickets available.
Yeah.
But you get a hookup, right? No.
They don't have just like one seat off to the side that's for Jay's that's for Jay's friend.
I'll try to work that in my deal next year. Can I get one ticket?
Two of these right by the ice.
Can I just get one ticket?
Is it better to sit, do you think, in the middle of the ice or like on the end?
This is actually a topic that Kings fans love to discuss.
Really?
Yes, because some people love being up in the 300s because you get the full scope of the ice.
Yeah, like...
Some people love it up there. Like, some people like to sit center ice, 300s, row one. You have an unobstructed view of the entire ice. Some people love being down low by the glass where you hear the banging, where you're right on top of the player. Some people love that aspect.
Yeah.
I think if I were a season ticket holder, I would sit at the top of, like, the 100 mm-hmm. levels. Like, not at the bottom by the glass, but, like, at the top of the section.
Where it's just above the glass, where the glass is just above your
eyes.
Yeah,
I would make sure that I'm above the glass so I can still see the ice. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't necessarily want to be on the end, but I kind of like there being an angle. Some people like dead center, left, right, like a tennis match.
Yeah.
But I kind of like being a little bit off on the corner and get like a longer view at it.
Yeah.
But I'm always surprised by how many people are looking straight up at the screen.
It's so hard not to watch the screen. Like, they do the Lakers games there, too, and all that. And I will find myself watching the video, and then I'm like, what am I doing? It's here live in front of me. Why don't I watch the game? But it's just that we're all so used to watching it on TV that when you're actually at a live sporting event, it's just easier to watch the monitor.
Well, I was in Dallas, and I went to a Dallas Cowboys game. Mm-hmm. And they have,
I bet that was fun.
They have a gigantic screen.
I've heard.
It's like bigger than my apartment. And DeMarco Murray had a touchdown run. And I look down in front of me and I'm like, oh my God, he's about to do a touchdown. I'm watching the play on the field. But 10, 20, 30 rows in front of me, everybody's head is looking up at this giant monitor and watching it. And I'm like, it's happening in front of you live. But everyone's looking at it.
Everyone's
on the big
watching
screen.
The monitor. Yeah, because it's just, it's what we're all used to, you know? It's a little easier to see, maybe, than the little guy on the field that's running.
And I don't think I would pay, I don't think I'd spend a lot of money on going to live sports myself.
Yeah.
I'll I'll pay to watch hockey because I love
sport. See, that's what I can't justify. I would love to go see more Dodgers games, but when you're talking about $30 for parking,
right,
you know, $100 for the tickets, and now we have to buy one for Channing too. So it's like, all unless we're sitting in the nosebleed sections. Same thing with the Kings games. Like, you're looking at like $100-$200 to go to a game. I don't know how people afford it unless they have some knowledge of discounts that I don't. But I would love to go to more sporting events.
I think for some people, like some people drink, some people smoke. Mm-hmm. That's where their money goes.
Yeah.
Some people love sports so much, that's their vice. That's what they spend their few grand on a year.
That's what they save up for.
Yeah. Because I see families.
Yeah, like 5-6 people.
Like, yeah, there'll be mom, dad, 4 kids, and they go to every game.
Maybe their season. How much do you think it costs to get season tickets for like a Kings game?
Well, it's a wide variety. It's anywhere from a few thousand to several thousand.
And is that, do you pick your seats?
Yeah, I mean, the
like your section or something?
The season ticket holder base has gone up substantially since you win a couple of championships. There used to be this thing, and I think they do it on a much smaller scale now. It used to be a thing called Select a Seat, where you would walk into Staples Center, and whatever seats were available for purchase for the season would have like a piece of paper on it. So you would literally walk into the building and be like, I'm in section 109, row 12, seat 8, but seats 1 and 2 on the aisle have come available. Ooh, honey, let's switch and go to the aisle seats.
Oh.
So you don't have to climb over people.
And
so
they don't do that anymore?
Well, I think now they're all sold out.
They're all sold out.
Oh, like, there's on a regular game, there's 18,000 plus on a sellout. It's like 18,320.
Crazy.
And I think, and I'm not accurate, don't quote me if anybody from the Kings is listening. I think we're up to like 15,000 seats are season ticket holders. So on any given night, there's only a few thousand tickets available for general purchase.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Which is remarkable here, but like if you want to go to Toronto, mm-hmm. every single seat, even though the Toronto Maple Leafs are a horrible team, and every single seat is sold out.
Because National sport in Canada.
It's the national sport of Canada. Like, you can go anywhere from Edmonton to Calgary to Montreal. They're going to sell out every single night, no matter who's playing.
That's amazing. I bet you up there, they're just like, the hockey stars are just like gods.
Oh, they're absolutely.
Because here, I don't know that I could tell you the name of any of the hockey players. Is there like someone with a K? His last name starts with a K.
Yeah, Kopitar.
Okay, that one. That
Andre Kopitar, yeah. Yep.
I know their names. They're familiar to me, but I couldn't like name them offhand. Yeah. I still enjoy going to watch them and cheer
But can
them
you name bit. Dodgers? No. Dodger players.
There's a Puig.
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 Did you say Puig? There's a Puig.
That's Puig. Like,
it's spelt that way, Puig.
You cannot ask me names of teams because that's when Puig. I start getting really girly and saying stupid things like, kick a touchdown. although I know about sports, I just don't know team members necessarily, unless they've been in the news or committed some crime. And then I've had to write about them at work. But yes, I know Puig. Puig.
Yes, Yasiel Puig.
Because it looks like pug. And yeah. I always remember that.
One of my favorite things I've done twice over the last year is I've been on Goin' Rogan with Fred Rogan. When I go on there, it's nice that I don't have to just talk Kings. I love the Kings. It's great working for the Kings. But I do have opinions about other sports. So it's cool to talk about, you know, the possibility of the NFL coming to L.A. We were talking about, you know, could Yasiel Puig be considered an MVP one day? Mm-hmm. You know, and
because you're an overall sports fan. Like
yeah, overall. I mean, I'm a Sports Center first thing in the morning kind of guy.
Yeah.
And
we could never date, Jay. We can never be together because I cannot. We're not a sports house. We like the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Okay.
And bless their hearts, they've had a really dumpy end to their season that made me sad.
Well, you know how they say, like, oh, is there a girl that you let get away?
It's Heather Brooker. I know.
It's you.
I know. I was in
Boston, and a girlfriend of mine rolls over in the morning and she goes,
gross.
That's gross. She rolls over and goes, do you mind if we turn on SportsCenter? I want to see how the Celtics did last night. And I was like, I should have just asked her to marry me right there.
I know.
Right there, like, and be like, I love you.
Yeah. Now we really hope your girlfriend isn't listening to this show.
So close.
So close.
So close. close. That's an inside joke. You won't get it.
I don't care. I'll say it with you anyway. Ew. So are you being dirty on my podcast? I mean, it's totally fine. All right. Well, I think you're amazed tits. I think you know that. I've always
What word is that?
Amazed tits. You know, I've feel free to use that at your next Kings game.
What was the word you said before we started the podcast? Fairfully or something? Or would you?
Lurfly.
Lurfly. What is that?
It's lovely, but for some reason I say lurfly. I don't know why. It's lurfly.
You're a nerd.
I'm a total nerd.
Lurfly. Lurfly. How long have we been talking? 2 hours?
It's been about 2 hours. I don't want you to miss the Kings game.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm obviously going to have to go in and edit out all of your profanity and inappropriateness. Tell me, finally, first of all, how excited are you that we're still friends?
Oh, it's been on my bucket list to contact and hug it out.
I know, and just come and visit. I do want to come see you sometime when you do, like if you do a show at Flappers.
Okay.
But it better be more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm actually not that impressed with the people over at Flappers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll diss them a little bit. I went into their like they audition people there, you know? And they said, hey, you know, if we like you, we'll send you an email and tell you about an upcoming show that we'd like you to be in.
Okay.
And if you're not available, just let us know, you know. So I went in and auditioned. That day I got an email like, hey, can you do this show Friday? And I responded with, I can't do this show Friday, but, you know, I would like to do shows in the future. And that was months ago, and they never contacted me. So it was like they gave me one shot, and I said no, and they're like, okay, whatever.
Oh, well, maybe you sort of fell off their radar accidentally, or maybe.
I shouldn't have.
Because I think that they got, I feel like they have so many people coming in every week trying to, you know. But yeah, you're right. That's weird.
Right, but I mean, like, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but, like, if they were looking for, like, one of the things you're auditioning for is hosts. Mm-hmm. They want hosts. And so I just, you know, throw the credits out there. I do this, and they're like, oh, that's great. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it just drops off the radar.
Somebody dropped the ball.
To go back and revisit and go, hey, remember me?
Remember, I'm a big damn deal.
Hey.
I'm a big DD. Feel free to use that and lurfly. I know you already have like a huge social media presence, but I always like to wrap up the show by telling people where they can find you and follow you and all your brilliance.
Well, I just started a YouTube channel called Downtown Flats.
Oh, nice.
So I'm posting stuff on there. I just posted a fun drone video from Redondo Beach the other day. But I'm always posting stuff.
Oh, I saw that. I think I saw that on your Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And I'm almost done with a short film using a few tour guides that are in it. Kevin Brooks and Joanna and Daniel Hackman. They're all currently.
I don't know any of those people.
They're on the roster. They're tour guides. But they're in it. It's a little short film about three guys that all propose using the same 10 cheesy proposal lines. And they have three completely different outcomes.
Oh.
It's called Before I Met You.
Okay. I love it.
So that's going to be the next... that's my next festival thing. I wrote it, produced it.
So, another hat that you're wearing.
Yeah, another hat. And I'm in it.
All right.
And I'm in it.
As you should be.
Yeah.
So, are you also... You Periscope a lot, too. Periscope's
I addictive. Was Periscoping, but I lost interest for some reason. I don't know
why. Well, I think because unless you're... I don't know. It's a...
Like you got to have your phone in your hand if people are following you.
Yeah. And also if you're following other people, I just felt like for me, I was getting a lot of like notifications of constant, you know, things that were constantly happening. And I was like, it's too much.
So yeah. I envy my girlfriend because she has no online presence, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram. But like for what we do, we have to, promote. You have to put it out there. But like I'm almost at like 10,000 Instagrammers. Mm-hmm. I got to like 9980.
Yeah.
And I was like, so close. And then I lost 75 people overnight or something. And I was like, how does that happen?
Dick pic.
But I don't think it was a dick pic. Because I actually take Polaroids, put them in an envelope, and mail them to you. Because you're never going to forget my dick pic.
So you have a hard copy.
Yes, you have a hard copy of my dick pics.
It's very antiquated.
I take the Polaroid, I shake it out, I put it in an envelope, I lick a stamp, put it on the envelope, send it through the U.S. Postal Service.
Then they have a dick pic and your DNA.
Yes, so you will remember, you will remember it.
I love it.
But like I can't get into what all these kids are doing. Like they're like, why aren't you on Snapchat? And I'm like, because I'm an adult.
Snapchat, yeah. Because I'm an adult. I can't get into that. I've checked it out, but I was like, this seems complicated and I'm old. I'm not
Facebook,
gonna...
Twitter, Instagram at @JAYFLATS. Everything is at Jay Flats.
All right. Everyone go and find Jay, although everyone who's listening probably already follows you.
I mean, I think I like Instagram because it posts to the other two as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do like that aspect of Instagram. I wish you could do that on Facebook.
And even my mom's on it. Ginger's on it.
Ginger.
Yeah.
Ginger Flatley?
No, she's been married a few times, so she's got a crazy long Polish last name that she wished she could get changed. But you know how hard it is to change your name these days.
Yes. Very difficult.
But yeah, Ginger is my mom and Marianne is my girlfriend. So I am
Oh my God, that's Gilligan. Cheesy and cute. I love it.
Gilligan.
You are totally Gilligan. Yeah. Or are you the professor?
But maybe. Mm. But I call Ginger my mom Ginger because when you loan money to your parents, you can call them whatever you want. You're not obligated to call them mother or mom or mama or
nope.
You can call them first name basis.
Yeah, I call my mom Barbara.
You do?
Yeah, but it's more just because I'm usually annoyed with her. Barbara, sit down. Oh. Barbara.
Well, if I hear Jason Michael Flatley, get your ass in the house. Ooh, I know I'm in trouble.
You know you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, this is such a cute little room, too. Like, do you rent this out?
No.
Can I stay here?
No, you cannot.
Mm-mm. But there's a futon.
There is a futon. On. It's
there's
very
Marilyn
luxurious.
Monroe on the wall.
I'd like to add a little ambience.
There's babies. Are these all baby?
Those are all my babies.
Different stages?
Different stages of Channing on the wall. Isn't she fresh?
I do have to say it's adorable, but it's Uncle Nelson probably shouldn't have introduced her to the lean over with your booty and fart.
I know. Uncle Nelson taught her that. Yeah. That now we'll never shake it.
If you guys are still listening, when I first came in, Heather's daughter Channing stuck her booty at me and said "fart, fart," and I was like, "Well, this is going to be a fun day."
I know, it's like, oh Nelson, why did you teach her that? He has no idea that she still does that. But yeah, no, Channing, absolutely, she does all the time. She dances around and she'll put her butt in the face. She also likes. Like, she's just a very friendly gal, you know, for a 2-year-old. She's like, hi, welcome to my house, you know?
Do you have a record I'm supposed to break? Like, listeners
of
your podcast? Like, is there like a, do you keep track of it? Like
15,000.
You had a podcast that was listened 15,000 times?
Yes.
Wow.
Or more. I don't know. It could go. I'm also an actor. Maybe I'm lying to you. Maybe it's 15.
15 total, because I like a challenge. Like, I'll put it out there and be like, oh my God, you guys have to listen to me and Brooker.
If you do it, I will buy you tickets to a Kings game.
Brooker and Flats in the morning.
Well, that's a fun show. I'd watch that show.
Brooker and
like
Flats.
A little jingle, or maybe a rap.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'd watch it. Thank you very much for coming in, Jay. I appreciate it.
That was so
cool. You guys. If you want more information about Motherhood in Hollywood, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com. Follow me at MIH Podcast on Twitter. And you can also find me at Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and Facebook. Jay has been my guest today. Jay, thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me on your cast pod.
Bye, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Mama funny.
Balls.